The violence and fear that gripped Boston with the bombing of the city's annual marathon race and the subsequent manhunt that tracked down the two suspects in the case has given way to a familiar national debate on terrorism and its causes. One of the suspects, Tamerlane Tsarnaev, was killed in a shootout with police on April 18th, while his younger brother Johar Tsarnaev was captured in a boat in the Boston suburb of Watertown. Investigators who have questioned Johar in his hospital bed say a picture is emerging of the bomb plot planned by the older brother, recently steeped in radical Islam, without known foreign links or assistance. Predictably, some conservative politicians called for the bombing suspect to be designated as an enemy combatant, while others, like Congressman Peter King, Republican of New York, demanded increased surveillance of the Muslim community, declaring, "We can't be bound by political correctness." The Obama Justice Department has charged 19-year-old Johar Tsarnaev with using a weapon of mass destruction in the bomb explosion that killed three and wounded at least 176 last week, and will try him in a U.S. federal court. Your reporter spoke with Boston resident Terry K. Rockefeller, a documentary film producer who joined the group September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrows soon after her sister Laura was killed in the 9/11 terrorist attack on the World Trade Center. Here she discusses her response to the recent marathon bombing in Boston and the difficult work of turning grief into action for peace and breaking the cycles of violence engendered by war and terrorism.
When I first learned about the bombing, I was heartbroken. I think as events evolved over the course of the week, it's been really, truly something that perhaps has never happened in history before. I mean, the evidence of the alleged perpetrators was produced terribly quickly. And then, of course, we had the experience of, waking up on Thursday morning to find out there had been a violent car chase and shooting and that one of the suspects was dead, but the other one was still on the loose. And the notion to shelter in place, it was a new phrase, but I have to say, I'm just tremendously grateful for intelligent and swift police action. And I'm also very grateful that the remaining suspect who was captured after the day-long sheltering in place, is now going to be, charged as in federal court and that there will be a trial that, is not trying him as a foreign terrorist or an enemy combatant. In some ways, things happened so quickly in response to the marathon bombings, where we still don't have a proper legal response to the 9/11 attacks, which is a frustration on my part.
The group you're involved with, September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrow's mission is to promote a nonviolent response to terrorism. That's an incredibly difficult task with so much fear and hate engendered by terrorist attacks and violence. I'm wondering, as you look at this bombing incident in Boston, how do you hope the response is different than what we all experienced as a nation and pretty much the world after the 9/11 attacks? Of course, the scale's different, but we've hopefully learned some things since 9/11. And what do you hope for?
Well, let me start by saying I am not an expert on all the options we have, but I do have some very heartfelt hopes. As the evidence unfolded about who the suspects in the bombing at the marathon are, and as we are learning more and more about the role that radical Islam may have played in these two brothers' motivations, and let me also say that I truly believe that people are innocent until found guilty, but because of 9/11 and because of the history that we've lived through in the years since 9/11, I think we need, as individuals, as a nation, and as a world community, to really try to understand how we can have how we can establish a dialogue with radical Islam. I mean, and I can't tell you, Scott, that I have thought about, well, tomorrow I'd like to do this, or in 6 months we should create this kind of institution. But I truly believe that radical Islam and that Muslims who carry out terrorist acts are not expressing the truth and the wisdom of their religion. On the other hand, I do believe that they are people who have an agenda. And just as one had to establish a dialogue with the terrorists in Northern Ireland, the ways in which you break these cycles of violence is by actually inviting people to participate in some communal discussion, diplomacy, political systems. And I hope this makes us think very hard about how to do that.
Terry, I'm curious about your response to the discussion we've had in our media since the Boston Marathon bombings, including a comment by New York State Representative Peter King, who recently said, quote, "It's time to stop being so politically correct and recognize the real threat to the United States comes from Islamic terrorism, which means law enforcement must put a heightened focus on Muslim communities." He favors profiling Muslims in general, the entire Muslim community, for surveillance. How do you respond to these predictable and certainly historic at this point reactions to terrorist acts?
Well, first of all, I respectfully disagree with Peter King. I don't believe that you categorically label everyone who's a color or a religion or a gender, or profiling is not the issue. And I think that kind of response is exactly the way in which you heighten the resentment of people who are likely to become terrorists. I believe that in the long run, the security of not only Americans, but the security of people around the world will be enhanced if we follow the rule of law. So I try to speak out for that wherever I can. I try to motivate people to think about those issues.
That was Boston resident Terry K. Rockefeller, a member of the group September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrows. Find more information on organizations advocating nonviolent responses to terrorism by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.